Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Reach.
No more fascist bullies disturbing our peace.
Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring interviews, music, news, and events on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of health, peace, prosperity, harmony, and nonviolence. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management.
Examine it closely.
Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate that we are listening to vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia, and her co-host, Mark Donadue, founder of World Vegan Day, Melbourne, Australia. This is my edited version of Second Stage Vestopia, What Else Don't We Know, webinar number 10. To hear the full episode, please visit veganpsychologist.com.
So welcome to the 10th webinar in the series, Second Stage Vestopia, What Else Don't We Know. My name's Claire Mann, and I'm joined by my co-host and colleague, Mark Donadue. Mark is the founder of World Vegan Day Melbourne, which is one of the biggest vegan festivals in the world. He's also the president of VegVic Australia. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by our guest speaker today, who is Derek Brose. Derek Brose is a freelance investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker, author, and public speaker. Seeking to expose corruption, find solutions to the problem that affect all humanity, and to promote localization and decentralization. Derek is a Houstonian who has survived depression, drug addiction, and even prison. Since 2010, he's dedicated his life to improving the city of Houston and the world at large as an activist, journalist, and radio show host. In 2019, Derek joined the race for the mayor of Houston. As a mayoral candidate, he called for giving away the power of the mayor to Houston and amplifying the voices of Houstonians. As of 2020, he is the author of 5 books and the writer of 5 documentaries. Welcome, Derek.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate what you guys are doing here.
Thank you. And I know you're going to be adding so much more to expanding and embracing this wider definition of veganism. But Mark, you know, we're now on our 10th webinar, and we've just been reflecting, haven't we, on what has been happening in the vegan community locally and internationally. And it's certainly been my experience is that there's a huge polarization of views. It's either people saying, oh, vegans saying there's this deadly virus, and others saying, oh, there's all these conspiracy theories. What's been your experience, Mark?
Yeah, well, there has been this big division in the vegan ranks, and it's really surprised me, you know, how much that has happened. You would expect that vegans who are already aware of animal cruelty and how we've been lied to about these big, the animal industries, the pharmaceutical industries, who have a lot to gain by exploiting animals, that you think that they would be onto what has been happening, you know, with this whole COVID-19. But so many are not, and they are just following the agenda exactly like everybody else in the mainstream. And that's come as a big surprise to me. And you see people getting very emotional on both sides of this, and it is splintering veganism.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there's this sort of move towards, isn't there, is can we just put our head down so it gets back to normal? And can we just focus on animals so that, you know, everyone's getting lost in these other issues and they're not seeing the wider oppression, are they? So Derek, in groups we're involved with, and then predominantly the vegan ones, we're seeing this intense polarization. Are you seeing this in other groups as well as veganism?
You know, it's interesting to me, this conversation, because I am a vegan, obviously, and I know some vegan activists where I'm based, originally based from in Houston and even out here in Mexico, but it's not the focus of my activism per se. But it's interesting because in the ways that we're going to get into today, I have noticed this same sort of, you know, this lack of desire or unwillingness to look at other areas, and as you said, sort of dismiss them as conspiracies or whatever it may be. I do think it's a limitation, and that's why I was saying I really appreciate what you guys are doing, because hopefully it can spur on some more conversations within the vegan community, encouraging people to not be closed-minded to things outside of the strictly vegan conversation.
Yeah. No, absolutely, you're right. And, you know, in the definition of Vestopia, we talk about this trance-like collusion with a dark and dystopian reality that people aren't even aware of. And a lot of vegans go, yeah, it's the non-vegans that, you know, need to wake up. And so, you know, we've been encouraging people to actually obviously look beyond that. Derek, you're a big picture person, and we've really been gently introducing people in the first two few webinars, and now we're saying, look, this is not only a scam, this is really a situation people need to know about. Is Derek, what is the bigger picture, and you know, what do vegans need to know about to be part of the solution?
Well, okay, so people come to veganism for different reasons, right? Some people, especially as it's become more trendy and kind of a fad, they might just do it for dietary reasons. Others feel very strongly about standing up for animals, and you know, reducing violence on the animal population and things of those sort. But whatever reason that people feel drawn to veganism, they do so, I would say, out of a sense of compassion, whether that's compassion for themselves to be healthier or compassion for the animal population. But ultimately, that sense of compassion, it is a positive thing. It is a good thing. And I see that same sense of compassion as being sort of played on, and I would say manipulated on, by the media and the politicians who are encouraging people, well, if you care about your grandma, if you care about, you know, the sick and elderly, then make sure you wear a mask, make sure you stay home, make sure you follow all these measures without asking questions, you know, related to COVID, et cetera. So there are people who, again, they come to veganism out of a sense of compassion, and they see the situation and they believe they're being compassionate by essentially just being obedient and not questioning, not sort of digging deeper. And then also kind of being critical towards those who do challenge these things and say, well, hold on, what if this doesn't necessarily make sense to me? Maybe shouldn't we pause here and ask a question and really think this through? There's, you know, kind of a shaming that goes on. So I think that that's something that vegans can start to work on, is recognize, look, you are a compassionate person. If you found yourself in this particular sphere of activism and you know, this realm, build on that. Start looking at other areas and recognize that the people who are in charge of governments and banks and corporations, they do not have the best interest for people at heart. And that can be a difficult thing for some people to accept. But accepting that reality, I think, is kind of just the beginning of other bigger realities that, you know, we can kind of unpack later on.
So what do you, I mean, we've seen so much, haven't we, in terms of, you know, we hear things like the Great Reset, and this sort of totalitarian tiptoe, which now seems to have turned into a stampede. Can you just tell our viewers what that actually is? What is this thing called, the Reset?
So the Great Reset is a term that has been pushed in the last 7 or 8 months by the World Economic Forum. But the more you go through these things and you start looking at their words themselves, you don't even have to speculate. These people are putting their ideas sort of out in the open now. Then you start to understand that the vision that they are actually promoting is something that is very much top-down, authoritarian, centralized control. Now, today, as we're recording this, on the front page of CNN.com in the U.S., it said, by next year, you will need an immunity passport to travel. You know, it's being put out very openly. And so a lot of the things that the World Economic Forum had sort of theorized as hypothetically we should implement some of these ideas, now they're actually starting to roll out as we're 6, 7, 8, 9 months into this thing. So far from just being some random marketing campaign by an international organization or an international think tank, the Great Reset is actually an agenda, a plan that a lot of these powerful players, some who I would say have been involved when you start to kind of follow the money, some who have been involved in things that vegans very much would be against. The Great Reset is their way to use this crisis as a way to present themselves as the saviors having the solution we all need. And it's kind of an age-old strategy that these folks, what I tend to call the predator class, have used for generations. You know, create or allow a problem to kind of, you know, form, and then the people respond, react to it, which is typically the expected response that they wanted. And then these, you know, you provide the solution that they wanted all along. So it's a very clever but simple and age-old. It's not anything new. I mean, it's been used for quite some time. So yeah, that's the gist of what the Great Reset is. And I do have some links I can send you to include for anybody who wants to go further. I've written a few articles, and I have a short mini documentary about 10 or 12 minutes long that also breaks down what the Great Reset is.
Now, Derek, can you maybe tell our viewers what happened at the previous World Economic Forum in 2019 and whether some of their predictions actually came true?
Absolutely. The things that these folks discuss do have a tendency to become reality. You know, it's, again, it's not just some kind of guys out in their yachts theorizing about remaking the world. They're actually actively making moves towards this. So I want to mention one other group that Klaus Schwab is involved in and then answer your question. So Klaus Schwab, in addition to being the current chairman of the World Economic Forum, he's also a steering committee member for another group that some people may be familiar with and others may not. It's called the Bilderberg Group. And this group was, up until maybe 5 years ago, that's still seen as a conspiracy theory, although people have been keeping track of their meetings since the 80s, you know, definitely the 90s. And then in the internet era, you know, mid 2000s to now, there started to form this protest movement where every year people would find out where the Bilderberg Group was meeting, different parts of the world every year, and go there and protest them and try to confront them. Because again, these are powerful people from past presidents, American presidents, Australian prime ministers, you know, people from all around the world, Henry Kissinger's of the world, these folks getting together, and they have a steering committee where, you know, those folks are the ones that kind of set the agenda for the next year, right? And Klaus Schwab is on that steering committee. So in the 2019, and I believe in 2018, one of the topics that the Bilderberg Group talked about was the post-truth era, as well as talking about the rise of AI and facial recognition technology. Now, when you think about the world we're seeing and how divided politics is and how there is this attack on free and independent information, like, for example, some of the things that I'm covering here have been recently removed or censored or, you know, kind of shadow banned from various social media platforms. And that is a part of the post-truth era. It's this agenda to have the people so confused, and COVID is a great example of this, so confused that they can't tell what's up, what's down anymore, and sort of just throw their hands up, like, whatever it takes, I just want to go back to normal. You know, let's just whatever I need to do. And so this post-truth era, where the fake news idea is a real phenomenon, where the corporate media around the world does put out fake propaganda as packaged news. The World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, they were also involved in the Event 201 exercise that some people may have heard about, that involved the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the John Hopkins Center for Health Security, where in October 2019, they simulated essentially what we're seeing right now. So, you know, my point with saying that is that Klaus Schwab, sitting at the head of the World Economic Forum, is having these yearly annual meetings of these elites. He's also sitting on the steering committee, member of the Bilderberg Group. He's also working with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to do these simulations. And I mean, it's very clear that these folks are not just speculating, that they are almost kind of putting their plans or their agenda right out and open. And it has worked this way for some time. I think it's just with the internet, we have much more opportunity to see it and catch it in real time. Whereas in the past, people were kind of looking for white papers or reading memoirs and trying to find clues to what these people are doing. And now, for one reason or another, we're at a point where the kind of agenda is right out in the open. Again, it's all being blamed on COVID. Because of COVID, we're facing food shortages. Because of COVID, everybody's out of, you know, a job. One in four Americans are in unemployment. Because of, you know, everything's COVID, but it's all a part of this great reset agenda. They're using that as the way to kind of break people down. So I do believe that to some degree it would serve the agenda of the predator class to create more division. And whether that division means you keep Donald Trump in office and have a bunch of people from the left side freak out and be upset and, you know, see where that goes, or you put Biden in there and have the other, you know, I don't know which serves their purposes more, but I do think that ultimately the goal is to continue to keep the people divided and fighting and distracted amongst themselves, instead of organizing and uniting in any way and realizing that the puppets that are in the presidential office are not going to be able to turn things around. I mean, ultimately, whether we're talking about veganism, we're talking about the Great Reset, we're talking about the historic oppression of indigenous and native peoples, and that's all this is. This is just the Great Reset is the continuation of colonization that has been taking place, starting in Europe, starting, you know, in Asia, spreading across North and South America and Africa, of course. This is the same continuation of that policy, but now it's here in the modern day. And so for me, it's like, we have to get past thinking that parties are going to fix things, that presidents are going to fix things, because this, you know, predator class, this predator energy is age old. It's not just a new thing. You know, it didn't start with Donald Trump. It's not going to end with Joe Biden. It's not going to end with these current people. We have to figure out how we're going to get past it.
We're listening to a recording of Second Stage Dystopia, What Else Don't We Know, by vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia, and her co-host, Mark Donadieu, founder of World Vegan Day, Melbourne, Australia. And we're listening to their webinar number 10. Their guest is Derek Bose. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue with the recording of Second Stage Dystopia, What Else Don't We Know, webinar number 10.
Hi, this is Elaine. Join me on alternating Tuesday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. for Crosstracks. I play a mix of get up and go R&B, classic soul, jazz, blues, and whatever else may strike my fancy. That's 6 to 8 a.m. Tuesday mornings, Cross Tracks, right here on WCUW 91.3 FM or streaming live at WCUW.org, your community radio station.
Yeah, you turn down love like a trailer man.
You are listening to WCUW 91.3 Community Radio, Worcester, serving you and the byways of the world. Smart radio, programmed by real people.
This is Molly Narrow, host of Vegan Nation. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. Shortly, we'll return to our program featuring Second Stage Vestopia, What Else Don't We Know? A webinar series by vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia, and her co-host Mark Donadue in Melbourne, Australia. In one of their previous episodes, their guest was Dr. Will Tuttle from California, USA. He is the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. And he also discussed in his interview on their webinar series, The Global Crisis. And in his book, it is described from approximately 10,000 years ago and bringing us right up to 2021 of what's happening. And also his two recent articles that were written in 2020 really sum this all up as well. And one of the articles is COVID-19, Our Banquet of Consequences. And the other is The Masquerades That Define Our Culture. Again, I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in, for your open mind and your open heart, for nonviolence towards all beings on this planet, veganism. And now we'll continue with the number 10 webinar of Second Stage Vestopia, What Else Don't We Know? And this is Mark and Claire's guest, Derek Bros, joining them from Mexico. He's originally from Houston, Texas.
So it's definitely something that I think can feel overwhelming for a lot of people, again, if you're just coming to this information. But also for me, I feel like this is probably the most powerful opportunity that we've had maybe in our lifetimes, if not ever, that I truly do believe this is why many of us were put here, to have these conversations, to, you know, bring the vegan community together with the truther community, bring, you know, all these different intersections of people who are questioning things and start finding a common ground that we have, as opposed to separating ourselves. Because ultimately, as you were kind of saying earlier, it's all the same fight. This is a part of a bigger picture, and they're all interwoven together. So the fight against animal oppression and violence against animals is interconnected to the fight against authoritarianism that's rising in the corporate state and the government as a result of COVID-19.
You know, I think one, this is what we like about your work so much, I think, is number one, it's exciting time. It's actually, this is a great opportunity for a very different type of awakening. And when we get into the solutions at the moment, what can we do? How can we, what is the new way of being, really? The raising of consciousness that needs to happen. What is the inner work we need to do? But you just said it in one thing that is really getting people to realize is the presidents and the prime ministers, they're all puppets of a bigger system. And it's getting people to realize that, and this division between left and right, isn't it, Mark? You know, we've talked about it in great depth.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've heard you say in some of my podcasts, Derek, is that often a lot of people's energy is wasted, you know, worrying about, say, these presidential outcomes. And ultimately, it doesn't really affect the overall agenda anyway, irrespective of which party is in a position of power. Do you want to maybe talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously, coming from the U.S., that's what I can speak to the most, but I'm sure that we could replace names and countries and probably have the same, you know, experience from the U.K. to Australia to Germany, elsewhere, because this is a global system, and including where I am in Mexico right now as well. I mean, there's no nation that has not been touched by this kind of this predator energy and this attempt to dominate the entire planet. And again, it's about dominating the planet, dominating animals, and dominating the human animals. You know, it doesn't just end with the other animals that we're trying to protect through veganism.
I almost don't want to change the energy moving out of that. There's one before we go into, you know, how do we create that world we want to create? But one thing I just want to sign off on, and I think, Mark, you might have another little additional thing, is a real heavy subject, but one that is necessary. What are vaccines about, Derek? And, you know, are they, you know, how does this sort of be part of, you know, controlling people, I guess, and mind control and body control? What are your views on this before we move into the real solutions to get out of this whole system?
Sure. Well, I want to preface this with saying, of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm a journalist. And as a journalist, that's a role I take very seriously. I have gone to lengths to try to interview the experts and the people who are more versed in these various fields than I am. Here we are with COVID. Anybody who's asking these questions gets demonized, anti-vaxxer, anti-science, getting deleted off, social media, getting books removed from Amazon, all these kinds of things. There's a huge effort to go after this movement. And over the years, that's just made me realize how much of an essential and crucial issue this is. I believe that absolutely as part of the bigger picture, when we're talking about the problems, that getting them people's bodies is key to that. Now, I don't have the say I know because they're trying to put a nano chip in somebody's body or this and that. There's a lot of theories out there. And I would caution the listener to not just believe any of them and not just assume, because I don't think anybody fully knows yet. There's lots of different research that I've done to say that in the U.S. and globally, that some of these folks that are, again, connected to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have absolutely researched things like bioelectronics, injectables that they can use through vaccines, that they can use to send electrical signals through the body. Of course, Bill Gates has funded the quantum dot tattoo idea where they would be able to shine a light to tell who's vaccinated. These are all realistic projects, things that have been discussed where there's money going into them. I'm not saying that's what the COVID vaccine is, but I do think it's very problematic, and these kinds of questions should be asked, that all the people involved in the global COVID recovery are benefiting from it, they're profiting from it, they're all tied to there's a web of these people that are all kind of interconnected throughout all the nations, and most of it does connect again back to the World Economic Forum, the Gates Foundation. So I think, though, if they can convince the people that they own our bodies, which they've already done in other ways, to me, the fact that the government anywhere can lock you up if you choose to, as an example, smoke cannabis or put something in your body, to me, that's the first step in this direction, because that's saying we own your body. We can tell you what goes in your body. And then you end up here where they're saying, well, we can tell you what kind of medicine you can put in your body or you can't put in your body. And we can also say, if you don't take this medicine, a vaccine in this case, then you can't fly, you can't travel, you can't do this. So I really believe it is absolutely key to their agenda. But as I said, I won't speculate on what it means, but I definitely do think there is more than what we're being told. And so even if I don't have all the evidence to prove it yet, I definitely think that we should keep an open mind in regards to that topic.
Well, and a reason we kind of raised it is because of that very thing, is the civil liberties, the freedom of movement, speech and thought that will be limited if people don't have the vaccine, so to speak.
The power behind being able to tell an entire civilization that we can tell you when you need to put something in your body. And as I'm sure you guys have seen and some of the listeners have seen, people have complied, pretty obediently, pretty easily to most of this. We are definitely in the minority as far as, it's a good thing. There's a lot of people questioning things and more people waking up, but absolutely we are still in the minority of people who are looking at this and batting an eye. A lot of people are like, okay, yeah, scan my thermal scan, head scan, whatever, I'll put a mask on. They're not even sort of questioning, they're just, and especially because people have been conditioned to believe that this means if they do this, we're going to go back to normal. So I think they want to achieve that ability, because if you think about that, now, if they say, well, COVID-21 is coming, COVID-22, COVID-23, every year it's a seasonal thing, and people have already been conditioned, like animals, to lock down, to stay home, to mask up, or to get your seasonal vaccine, that's an immense amount of power. And maybe the vaccine this year doesn't have anything fishy in it, but maybe the one next year could. It sets up a stage for so much more. But the other thing is, I do believe that it is absolutely about tracking people, whether that doesn't necessarily mean that there's physically going to be, a nano chip or something in there, although again, the technology does exist. But what we know for a fact is that the vaccines that are rolling out right now, they're saying that they require two doses, and those are either 10 days apart or 21 days apart. And so because of this new untested vaccines, especially in the case of the mRNA, the Moderna vaccine, and I think the Pfizer one is an mRNA vaccine as well, it's important for people to know that is a technology that has never before been approved for human use. And so we are witnessing a live experiment here, and that is not extreme to say. That is what this is. And how we know that is because once you get your first shot, they're going to have you keep a card on you, or maybe it'll be your digital app to remind you, come back in 10 days or 3 weeks. But after that, Google and Oracle are going to be tracking people for up to 2 years, monitoring their biology, their vital signs, and looking for, are things weird? Are things kind of, under the premise that, well, we're doing this to make sure that you're safe, which again is a clear sign this is a live experiment. But I don't believe that will ever go away. If they can get to the point where they're literally monitoring our daily vital signs and in our bodies to that degree, why would they relinquish that power? And again, when you understand the bigger implications of the Great Reset and the philosophy that's behind it, that's known as technocracy, they are wanting to push us into this full track and trace where humans, not only, we've seen the world, of course, you know, bringing it back to veganism, we've seen the world where animals are commodities and animals are treated as things, as property. We are now moving into that place where the human animal is finally going to be treated as property. And we already have been for a while, but it's going to become more and more obvious as they seek to essentially move us around as commodities. There's markets that are already popping up for trading commodities on trading futures on water. They absolutely also want to be able to trade debt, human debt, and trade and buy and sell that. I mean, we're moving into what they're, you know, you might have heard the phrase the Internet of Things. It's only recently coming about as part of 5G in this kind of digital world. It's the smart house, the smart home, the Amazon Alexa, and all the different interconnected things. But now the World Economic Forum and others are pushing this idea of the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Humans, where we are all going to be a part of this digital infrastructure. And so I absolutely believe the vaccine is a part of that. And it's going to start with this as subtle as, okay, well, now you need to have this app that you're connected to, and we can, you know, make sure that you're safe and healthy. But who's to say that will ever end once it begins?
So against that backcloth, and it's thank you for bringing it in together succinctly and simply, and yet within its complexity and the bigger picture, what can we do to create our freedom? If this is flawed and there's no saviors coming to save us, what can we each do to be part of this solution?
That's a great question. So for me, some of the principles that I hold, you know, near to me that I try to live by daily, the first one being sometimes known as the non-aggression principle, but also I just call it the golden rule, treating other people the way you want to be treated. More specifically, the idea that it is wrong to initiate force or violence against another human being. And for me, of course, as a vegan, I apply this to animals as well and think that it is wrong to initiate force or violence, coercion against animals. And so when you start with that implication, well, then that also follows that if it's wrong for you to treat other people that way, then it's wrong for other people to treat you that way. And if we can come to that basic understanding, that alone could solve a lot of our problems. So that's, to me, a very essential thing, the respecting of the individual sovereignty that comes with that. And that's, to me, it's also born of self-ownership, that you and everybody hearing this are powerful, beautiful people that own their own bodies. They own the products of their labor. And I include animals in that as well. I just want to mention briefly that I'm actually organizing an event that I think your audience might be interested in. It's going to be 5 days. It's a virtual event. It's going to be January 25th through the 29th. And that date is actually the date that the World Economic Forum is going to meet to unveil the full Great Reset plan. And so we started thinking, instead of let's spending 5 days obsessing over what they're talking about, why don't we spend 5 days focusing on the solutions that exist and the alternative vision that we can manifest. And so the website is thegreaterreset.org. We're calling it the Greater Reset or the People's Reset. And we put our energy into building something better. There will be an opportunity to thrive. And the answer is community. The answer is coming together as community, whether you're living in the countryside or you're living in the cities. We need each other as support systems. And so that's very much what I'm focused on, building what we call freedom cells, local decentralized groups, and encouraging people to connect and other skills. You know, be that support system.
I think we are the ones we've been waiting for collectively.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for giving us a framework to start to build on that. I know you've got to go. Mark, in closing, is there anything else that you'd like to add in closing?
Well, I think that the message that Derek has brought was one of hope and of solutions, and I think it's really great that we do focus on solutions and things that we can do to work together, and I think that that's a really great thing because we're surrounded with so much negativity in the media, and so I think it's really great that you're offering that, and I certainly thank you for your time.
I appreciate both of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be sharing your websites. We encourage people to go to the conference, get hold of the books. We will be sharing this with our lists and on social media. And thank you for everything you're doing, Derek, and look forward to continuing the journey.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We heard a recording of Second Stage Vistopia, What Else Don't We Know? Webinar number 10. This is Bali Nara, host of Vegan Nation in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.